This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The Federal Communications Commission and the Department of Justice have both just signed off on a mega corporate media merger. Charter Communications' massive $71 billion acquisition of Time Warner Cable and a company called Bright House Productions. But the media reform organization Free Press has called it a disastrous deal. Joining me to explain why is Matt Wood. He is the policy director at Free Press. Hi, Matt.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well, thanks so much for joining us. So explain what exactly Charter wants to do and why it's so disastrous.
Well, what they want to do, and it seems like they're about to do, is become one of the largest cable, TV, and broadband providers in the country. If this deal is approved, and it looks like the Department of Justice and the FCC are ready to approve it. In fact, Justice has gotten out of the way, and we're just waiting for the FCC to do a final vote on it. Then Charter and Comcast together will control about two-thirds of the broadband subscribers in the entire country. And we think that's very bad news for internet users and pay TV customers as well.
So I mentioned they've signed off, but of course, you're right. They haven't yet, as of this recording, taken a formal vote, but all indications are that they will. What exactly is their justification for this? Because, you know, the public has been, and this has been going on for a while. There's been a hue and cry, a legitimate one, to warn against the problems of more and more media consolidation. Is the Justice Department and the FCC in their impending approval, are they acknowledging what the issues might be, what the problems might be when you have this level of media consolidation?
Well, if you ask them, they'll probably say yes, that they're acknowledging it and in fact trying to stem the tide and remedy those problems to some degree with conditions. We just don't think the conditions will do enough to prevent the harms we see coming from the deal. And it's funny, the Department of Justice and the FCC review the deal in tandem. They have a lot of the same concerns, but they have slightly different mandates based on the statutes that give them their power to review the deal. Justice has almost a negative obligation, which is to say that they can sue to block the deal, but if they stay quiet, then the deal goes through. And what they've done here is negotiated a settlement with Charter. There's a lot of legalese here. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't really affect the final outcome, but it basically means they just get out of the way and let the deal go through if they don't see enough problems with it to stop it. The FCC has a different mandate. The FCC is supposed to affirmatively find that the deal is in the public interest. And we don't think that Charter and Time Warner Cable and the applicants behind the merger have made that case, but the FCC might look at Justice, and if neither of them is really willing to step up and block it, then even though they have different legal obligations, they tend to move in tandem. And that's why they're getting out of the way here, trying to get what they can out of the deal and get some conditions that will supposedly protect internet users.
Right.
But again, I mean, we just don't think it's strong enough.
Tom Wheeler, the FCC chairman, is essentially promising consumer-friendly conditions of the deal. Any idea what these might be? Are they telling us what these might be?
Some, yeah. As we said, the FCC has to kind of sign on the dotted line here for this to be official, but the chairman, Tom Wheeler, had an announcement that said, here are some of the conditions we're proposing. So I haven't seen them yet, but I know the general outlines as far as he revealed them. Charter has committed to not have data caps, they sometimes call usage-based pricing, for 7 years. And they're also not going to charge interconnection fees. And that's a mystery to a lot of people what that means. But some of your listeners might remember a couple years ago, Comcast and Netflix were in a series of squabbles about these fees. And basically, it means your ISP would love to be able to charge the website an additional amount in addition to what they charge you every month to deliver that traffic to you. So Comcast, or in this case, Charter, would love to have their hand out and collect money from Netflix as well as its own customers. Charter has agreed not to do those things in the short term. And I guess 7 years might sound like a pretty long time, but it's gone in the blink of an eye in terms of how long the lifespan of these companies is. The conditions can be hard to enforce, which is another reason that we don't think they're a terribly good remedy. And last, I would say the big problem we have with this merger is that Charter will emerge with something like $66 billion in debt. As a big monopoly provider of broadband connectivity, they have a lot of weapons in their arsenal to recover that debt and to take it back from the pocketbooks of their customers. And that's why we think that even with these promises, there will be other ways for the company to raise their prices, resulting in all of their users paying more no matter what kind of promises they make or whether they even keep them to the FCC and to DOJ.
And so if this deal were to be formally signed off by the FCC and go through, we're talking about a much greater monopoly, right? I understand that essentially you would have a Charter, which is the second largest cable TV and internet provider, merging with a third and sixth largest cable TV, or maybe Charter's the third, but basically you'd have the second, third, and sixth largest cable providers and internet providers merging, and the result would be how big compared to the remaining companies?
Well, so it's not a ton larger than the current Time Warner Cable is, but it's something. Charter, you're right, it's the third largest currently among what we call the traditional cable companies. And Bright House is not very big, but they're one of the biggest players in Florida, for example. So that's all adding to the national power of this new company. Now, the excuse you'll get sometimes from cable companies is, well, we don't compete anyway. Comcast has San Francisco and Time Warner Cable has Dallas. And so what's the harm if we merge? We would say there is harm from having a bigger company on a nationwide scale, but there in Los Angeles, you actually do have both Charter and Time Warner Cable serving different parts of the city and the larger market. So in this case, even that tired cable excuse of we already don't compete, kind of reward us for our failure to compete up to this point, even that excuse doesn't really wash when it comes to the Los Angeles market. Nationwide, this company will have well north of 20 million customers around the country in New York, Dallas, Cleveland, Charlotte, and Los Angeles, one of their largest markets and one of the largest in the country, of course. It'll be something close to 2 million customers in the Southern California area. And they're putting together a pretty sizable existing Charter footprint with the much larger Time Warner Cable customer base in LA and San Diego and surrounding parts.
Well, Matt, I want to step back and put this into a social and political context, because I think it's important to remind our audience when we talk about these mergers why it's such an issue. We're talking about companies that essentially control the flow of information, control the access that you and I have to information, to communication. The greater our daily reliance on information technology, the more control these companies have. Do you see this in a way as a civil rights issue? I mean, I know that might sound like it's overstating it, but when we're talking about how the internet can empower communities and individuals in ways that just we never thought possible, and then you have fewer and fewer companies controlling that, does it turn into a civil rights issue?
Yeah, we think it is very much a civil rights and civil liberties issue. You're not overstating it as far as we're concerned. I don't know that everybody thinks about that. But it's both. It's a real pocketbook issue. People are paying too much. And that is also a civil liberties and civil rights issue.
But we're not talking about pocketbook issues when it comes to, we're not talking about access to HBO as being a right, a human right. I must have affordable cable. We're talking about the right to the internet. We're talking about the right to information and communication. It's not just, the costs of those increase, the more it's out of reach from poor communities, right?
Oh, no, yeah, I completely agree. I was just saying that even the pocketbook element can be an essential service being denied. And hey, even media, entertainment gets slighted sometimes in these conversations, but the ability to not only access stories that are relevant to your community and your culture, but to tell those stories. The internet, the big jump forward over something like cable TV is that it is two ways. You can talk back to your TV. You can be your own producer with things like YouTube. And that's valuable not just for entertainment, but for news and all sorts of political commentary and participation. So, some of your listeners might know net neutrality as a term, something else that we've worked on here quite a bit in addition to mergers. And it all flows together. When you have a single gatekeeper who can dictate what you say when you go online, if they so choose, we have some safeguards built into the law to prevent that from happening, and that's a good thing. But the more power any single cable company or telephone company has, the more different levers they have to pull and to try to manipulate the political conversation, both through their lobbying dollars and their campaign contributions, but also just simply in terms of censoring or controlling what you and I can say to each other on this broadband telecommunications network.
Yes, you and I are relying on this network right now. In fact, our program wouldn't be possible if it weren't for having this access to the internet. And if a company like Charter gets bigger and then changes their rates, changes their service, it impacts small independent media productions like ours. I want to go back to what you were saying about the debt that Charter has gone into to, or that it would go into in order to make this deal happen. And I want to quote Craig Aaron, the president of Free Press. He said, the wasted expense of this merger is staggering. For the money Charter spent to make this happen, it could have built new competitive broadband options for tens of millions of people. Now these billions of dollars will do little more than line the pockets of Time Warner Cable's shareholders and executives. Tell us about the profits, of course, that these companies stand to make, and the monopoly that they will have that will in turn increase the take-home pay of these corporate CEOs at the expense of what people are paying. Instead of spending the money on improving their existing service, right? Because there is plenty of room for improvement.
Yeah, that's right. And for new options, I'll go back to something I mentioned a little bit earlier too. You know, the excuse we usually get from cable is, well, we don't compete against each other. Well, ask yourself, why not? You know, there is something of a market discipline or collusion. And those are scary words in a legal sense. It's hard to prove those things in a court of law, but that's what we've seen is the cable companies have divided up the country. Now you have Verizon and AT&T, obviously very sturdy monopolies over the past century in their own right. They've entered this market to some degree and they compete in some places, but even they are kind of pulling back on their commitment to what we call wired broadband, so the fiber into your home. And Verizon has done it in some parts of the country, but not the entire country. So we see those historical phone monopolies kind of focusing more on the wireless business now and leaving vast swaths of the country to cable for what is essentially an unchecked monopoly in every place other than those few pockets where Google Fiber has popped up or where Verizon or AT&T has invested some more in their own wired networks. And, you know, again, that's not... it's not pocket change that we're talking about here. $66 billion in debt, $27 billion in new debt just to finance this deal. $66 billion is the total number that Charter would emerge with. So when they say to us, we can't compete against each other, we say, why not? That's a lot of money. And if they invested, as you said, from our press release, you know, they could have wired tens of millions of new homes and not have to basically stay in their current footprint and wink and nod at each other and not go into each other's territories to compete and try to take away business.
Right. I mean, I would like to shop for the best service, the greatest internet speed, and the best price, but I, in my neighborhood, have Charter and Charter only. And so, of course, when Charter buys up these other companies, that's certainly not going to improve. If anything, it will get worse. Give out a website for Free Press. I understand you have a petition on your site for where people can speak out against this, because this deal isn't set in stone yet. There's still time, right?
There's still a little bit of time. Unfortunately, I think in the next few days, we'll be pivoting and talking about what do we do to fix this and where do we take the fight from here. But it is not a done deal yet, at least officially at the FCC. And our website is www.freepress.net. We're a .net, so freepress.net. We have this petition and all sorts of others as well that are about cable prices being too high and cable and phone companies having way too much control over what we see and hear online already.
Well,
so
Matt,
that's where you can come to speak out.
Thank you so much for joining us and good luck to you.
Sure, thank you so much.
Matt Wood is the policy director at Free Press. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.